On the road again. But we are. Slap some. Let's slap some numbers. What do we got?
Slappercast episode number 242.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I thought we were three. That's all right. That's all right.
I think we skipped. Well, you weren't on last week's episode.
Oh. Oh, really?
You're supposed to be.
Doctor's notes.
No. It's called out.
Hey, kids. Check it out.
Cool.
New patches. These are not stickers. Well, they're adhesive on the back, but they're supposed to be patches.
Yeah. I haven't seen this yet.
Yeah.
This came out really nice.
Oh, all right.
Very red. That's cool.
Yes. Very nice.
Cool. You've been asking?
Yes, a lot of people
years
have been
and years and years. Now we finally have.
Now, kids, can we do an announcement?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do an announcement. See that? What does that say, Chad?
It says Ireland.
No.
It says Tour Ireland.
No. It says Blackguards. Oh. That's the name of the band.
All right. So, anyway.
We are officially sold out.
Yeah.
We got two buses. Doc's Tour of Ireland has been sensational in at Dennis' one-man show. It's been amazing in putting this together. We have the best hotels. We have the best route, I think. We've got on Puckon in Galway confirmed. Second night we're there. We're going to do something in Killarney, not sure where yet, but that's coming up. And then we're playing Old Oak in Cork, our old favorite. And we are playing in Dublin, a place called Kennedy's. Tremendous, tremendous bar. And again, thanks to Dennis for helping us with that one. Anyway, so we're sold out. We just can't wait to take you with us. And can't wait for you to see what's coming up. Yep. Very excited about that.
Yeah.
And just, you know, thanks to everybody for coming along and guaranteed a great time. So,
yeah. So I can't believe it's so coming to us in.
I know.
We're in October.
We are in October. That's right.
We're on the downhill. Here we go.
And I think this week, what day is today? Tuesday? Saturday? Yeah.
It's today.
Yeah. So we are eagerly awaiting our first cold front of the season. First real cold front of the season.
Really?
How cold do you think? 84, 82, 80-ish. That's pretty good from what we've been. I don't know if you can see out the windows, but it's pretty nasty today. It's a little overcast. I see about four clouds, and it's 93 degrees. With 110,000% humidity, and it's lovely. It's absolutely lovely.
Are you serious about the cold front, or are you joking?
Yeah, no. Serious? Very serious. Have I ever joked?
No.
What's wrong with you?
Well, you said you wanted to start, so.
Really? We're on a cold front? I don't believe it. I gave it up on those.
I know.
They're like, we're going to get this cold front. I'm like, no, we're not. You get like one day of like 6 minutes of rain.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, 6 minutes. Wow. Yeah. You must be in the wet part of town.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was 5 or 6 minutes the other day at the house. It was like, burr, and then gone. And then it was just sun. I'm like,
how'd you do that?
Did that happen?
Yeah.
That's what I said out loud. I go, is that real? Did I imagine that? I think I just imagined that.
Yeah. This has been easily the hottest summer I've ever experienced anywhere. Anyway, we'll be looking forward to telling you more stories of great weather. That's the funny thing about Houston is we got 9 months-ish of perfect weather. Perfect weather. So.
It's true.
It's, you know, we have to pay for it in the summer. That's our tax, if you will. Mm-hmm. The mornings have been gorgeous. 6 a.m., 7 a.m. Oof. I've been told. What else?
That's funny you say 9 months, because a friend of mine, when I was first scouting in Houston before I moved here,
that's exactly what
he said. He goes, it's about 9 months of good weather. 3 months is going to suck. So, it's like, if you're good with that, you'll love it here.
Yeah.
So,
and you really, you know, you have to remember all the stuff is highly air-conditioned, you know, the indoors. The power grid's not the best, so it's a little nerve-wracking when you're, you know, when you're at that heat level, that index is so high, you know, and you're just hoping that they're not going to do those rolling blackouts, which is essentially when they just shut the power off in your area for as long as they feel like it. And it's just, it would be treacherous if you're old. So, anyway, quick question for you. Complete beeline away from what we're talking about. I went down, I saw one of these goofy online, who's your least favorite, or who's the least humorous comedian? Who was the first comedian that would come to mind? What would you say the majority of the answers were? Least humorous.
Craig first.
Is it going to be like a popular person?
Very popular.
And I'll
say Jimmy Fallon. His name was a lot less than I thought, but it's not him either. Anyway, it would take us all day because there's so many that are, you know, just I know. But I wasn't surprised. It was Will Farrell.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm just so, I was so happy because, you know,
you're not alone.
After a while, you start thinking, am I, because people keep quoting his, I know you've liked some of his movies and
yeah.
whatever, but they keep quoting these movies, and I'm going, no, it's not funny. I don't care if you're doing it in a different voice or you're doing it, it's not funny. And I just, anyway, it was just really strange to me to see that. And Jimmy Fallon's name was not on there enough. I don't know who's, you know, who's the heavyweight between those two. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Will Ferrell, though, is he does so many. He just shoots. So there's bound to be things that are funny in there because he does so many.
Really?
That's why I think it gets quoted, because there's movies that he has and I'm like, this is not good. And there's movies where I'm like, oh my God, that was a great part.
Yeah,
there's so many things.
There are a lot of bad Chris, what's his name? The guy who died.
Chris Farley?
Farley. Yeah, a lot of bad Chris Farley movies, but that guy was undeniably genius.
Yeah.
I mean, but
that's why I think he's quoted. There's so many. You know?
Yeah. I don't like all the Will Ferrell stuff. There's some of his more dry humor I think is good. He's the funniest bits I've seen him do are when he's a guest on a talk show. He has something ridiculous he's prepared to do. That's my favorite. It's my favorite bits he's used
on. You guys are tougher than me. I can't even have him on the screen. So I'm serious. I can't just it's like going to see a movie. You got Al Pacino and Robert Redford and all these great actors, and then
there was
Shelley Long or Julia Roberts. You're like, oh, what? No! And then I'm like, just not going.
Yeah.
She's only in it for a minute. Don't give a fuck. Not going.
Yeah. This is a good example of a really bad movie, but Michael Keaton played their police chief, like their boss. Remember that?
Oh! Wait. That was doing the Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls.
Yeah, he kept quoting TLC throughout the whole movie. And Will Ferrell keeps going, what? Did you just quote TLC and he keeps denying it? No, it was TLC. What are you talking about? It's so dumb. But I appreciated that just because I like stupid humor. It's stupid just for the sake of being stupid.
Yeah.
It was mainly Michael Keaton, I remember. Because Michael Keaton does,
yeah.
does humor so well. I think that's one of the reasons why it's so funny.
Have you seen the movie
he's
in?
Denying it.
Daddy's Home? I think that's the best movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Daddy's Home. It's with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Bunch of guys. That one's funny, dude. We always watch it around holidays. That's our December movie. I think it's great. So he gets a +1 for that one. He plays that dopey husband. That's the perfect character for him. He's kind of I've got, very passive, dopey husband. That's it. So, he's not funny because he's not funny in the movie. But that's what's funny about it is he tries to be funny and he's not funny.
Right.
That's what's funny about it. That's why I think that's the perfect.
Sounds like real life. Okay.
Right.
Serious question.
Oh, no.
Serious question. You can only pick one. So I'm going to ask you first, Chad. Mm-hmm. You can only pick one. That means there's two, and you can only have one.
Okay.
All right? So, one or the other. The question
forever
is...
Forever and ever.
Drum roll, please. You have to pick one.
How many?
Who are you going to pick? Prince or Michael Jackson? Go.
Prince.
Without a thought. You do not have to walk to Dallas to...
I mean, come on.
That's what
I know.
Would pick too.
Okay. That's. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure because I was thinking about leaving the band. And I said, "What can I ask them?" And I thought about this. And
you
I knew
I was going to say that.
I did. But I had to ask. You know, it's one of those things. If there's a bowl of peanut M&Ms that Heidi puts in because she's all, she just shakes them out and rears now.
Yeah.
She said, "Just the M&M."
Yeah.
But anyway, if there's a big bowl of them. And you haven't had them in a while, but there's one poison one in there. Are you gonna, it's that.
Are you going for it?
Yes. Yeah. And me with peanut M&M's, I'm going for it.
And I say that as somebody who grew up listening to my music.
I know. I did too.
But he lost me after Thriller. I kind of lost interest in his solo career after that. Of course, then he started losing his mind, or continued losing his mind. Never gonna look at it.
But he did check this brief recently.
Oh,
you gotta give him that.
So
yeah.
But anyway, but Prince was. I'm not a huge fan of Prince's entire career, but you cannot deny what an absolute genius that guy was. Not that Michael Jackson wasn't brilliant; he was, but it seemed like he kind of lost his edge after he got successful. To me, anyway, the stuff he wrote after that, I just thought was kind of boring.
Yeah,
he's bananas, dude.
He is bananas.
Bananas.
Yeah, totally.
Wait, he's dead.
No. Prince is one of those guys where he walks in the room and it's like it glows around him. You're like, oh, God.
And the fact that he can play, like, everything.
Yeah.
And he does.
As well.
Yeah. Like, most of his first albums, anyway. Prince is just him playing all the instruments.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So, so Turbo, I did have one back up, and it's a little watery, and I apologize in advance. Yeah. But I do have one for you. So, would it be Blink 182 or Green Day for you? Pick one. Only one.
Can I split it?
Nope.
Early on, it would be Green Day.
No,
it'd be Green Day.
Be one of the two.
Okay. I would take Green Day early on because they were before for me. You know, I was.
Okay. So yeah, but yeah. I mean, if you pick one, you're going to pick one. But yeah, I understand. Because I always ask the question between people, you know.
That's a tough one.
I know it is.
That's a good question.
I think of this shit. It keeps me up at night.
Yeah.
But the other one I thought.
I mean, this stage of my life, I'm taking Blink. Early on, mostly I'm taking Green.
Just none of this sound concept of
one. I can't.
that's why I asked the question.
Because you have to. All right, I'm taking Green Day.
Okay,
so this one, keep going. See some more.
So, well, the question that I usually ask, and mine is hands down. If you've known me for a second, you would know the answer. But there's so many people torn between this. The question being, Iron Maiden or Judas Priest, and I pick Iron Maiden 1,000 times over, and I do not dislike Judas Priest. I like some of their stuff. I think their guitar tones early on and even quite late in their career were awful. And you know they had their Tim Ripper Owens moment, Judas Priest. Iron Maiden had their Blaze Bailey moment. However, Iron Maiden, hands down.
Yeah, they recovered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now one that would shock you, would again shock people into metal. Shock people that are into metal, excuse me, not turn them into a
like Wolverine.
Yes, the big four, you know, when it comes to thrash, were supposed to be Megadeth, Anthrax, and Metallica, and Slayer. And of that whole bunch, I would only take Slayer because I think that Exodus needs to be Exodus because I think that they were just in on the ground floor of that. I'm not a Megadeth fan at all, and I can't stand the vocals in Anthrax, but I do like some of their stuff. So that was another one that was kind of the big four to me were always, you know, would be Testament, Exodus, Slayer, and maybe Metallica, only because they had, like them or not, we have to admit that they did open the door and they made a path for other.
How old were you when you got into listening to metal? Like, did that just come automatic? Young?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I heard it, I understood, you know, I understood that this was going to be a part of my fabric, you know, this is going to be...
What was the first? Was it Maiden? Sabbath?
The first, well, I mean, again, what was it? Was it hearing Sabbath on the radio or Deep Purple or, you know, that kind of stuff? I don't know, but I just remember when Thin Lizzy's twin guitars, Iron Maiden's twin guitars, Clive Burr, I mean, one of the first drummers for Iron Maiden, and then Nicola McBrain, their foundation is still part of the way I write music, part of the way I like to explain songs and stuff like that. So I would say 14, 13, 12, maybe. Okay. So hearing that shit in the radio when everything else was, you know, the heaviest that you're going to hear is Mungo Jerry's, you know, Summertime.
Yeah.
You know, not that, but, you know, or Slade, who I still love.
Yeah. Were you already into the Carpenters before?
I'm still a diehard Carpenters fan. I cannot believe that they don't play it every day. I can't believe Karen Carpenter still hasn't called and asked her to lunch. And she,
yeah. Never called. So you were listening. Same. I mean, you were like, listening as a kid to the Carpenters, Bee Gees.
Yeah, well, again, we weren't allowed to touch the stereo because, you know, you're too young. No, that's not true. I want to say Wolf Tones and Dubliners and
Right. Classical,
that kind of stuff. My mother says that I was just, like, not big, not much into it, you know. It's kind of funny because it really is the Blackguards is, you know, the bucket in which all my musical tastes are carried. You know, it's that massive... You know, that massive stew of shit that just that, because this is exactly, I'll often think about this, the sound that I was going for way back when, my first band on the Dole, I was trying to do that, but again, it was my first band, the first essential band that I was trying to guide and to, you know, get that sound, but just, I couldn't explain it to everybody else. I was so new. I couldn't describe the sound, nor could I, you know, you're not going to play them on Iron Maiden tape where the dual guitars on Trooper are just in perfect synchronicity and perfect harmony and perfect, you know, just a great tone, all the rest. Jay Burr and Adrian Smith together, guitar players for Iron Maiden, are among the best ever. I had also thought about two guitar players that I would love to see play together, which unfortunately never happened and can now never happen as of a few years back, but Gary Moore and John Sykes, two completely different players, but so compatible in the fact that they can play anything they put their minds to and play it well. But, John Sykes was the only person after Gary Moore that was able to play Thin Lizzy's Black Rose note for note.
Yeah.
Wow. So I heard Snowy White and Scott Gorham tried to play it on a video of them playing live, and it was a fucking disaster.
What was the deal with Snowy White? I know I saw the live footage we're watching of him. He just looked out of place. But stylistically, what is his problem?
So here's, as best as I can tell, and maybe somebody that's more a better historian of Thin Lizzy than I would be able to either agree or enlighten us. But Snowy White was playing with Pink Floyd at the time.
Oh.
And he wanted to do a little, all their stuff is kind of set. You're kind of told what to do and off
right,
you go.
Right.
He wanted a little bit more space to breathe, and that was at least what he told Philo. And when they started playing together, again, nobody said this. I'm assuming just from the chemistry on stage that I think he was just in over his head, and I just don't think that when he said he wanted to expand, I think he wanted to play more, but Thin Lizzy was maximum. I mean, I was beyond his abilities. That's just my... I'm not a Snowy White fan.
Was he more of a blues player, you think?
More blues and psychedelic and, you know...
Pink Floyd's pretty much...
Yeah.
Blues band.
Yeah. Blues-based.
Yeah.
But very spacey and very experimental. And you know who I always thought would be a great Pink Floyd player was Eric Bell.
Oh, yeah.
God. Sorry, Turbo. This is exactly what you're not.
You're good.
Yeah, no, that makes sense because he is... You know, Gilmore was great because he was very bluesy, very, very B.B. King and kind of his approach. But he was also very lyrical and melodic. Like, his guitar parts are so memorable. But
yeah.
Eric Bell has that same gift.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah. Finally. But yeah, it's worth checking out. Chad's often gushed over The Rocker by Thin Lizzy.
Best guitar solo.
And yeah, the
full length.
Yeah, the full length solo,
yeah.
not the radio edit.
Yeah.
But yeah, very 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 worth your while listening to.
There's, I told you about this. I think I sent it to you. I don't know if you watched it or not. This guy, YouTube guy, doing, you know, solo.
Yes.
Plays through the entire solo, and it's fascinating watching where his hands go when he's playing, and it's so economical the way that the solo is constructed. And you see, watch it; it just makes sense. And I've noticed this many times, like trying to figure out guitar parts that. Often, if it feels like it's getting too complicated, like trying to figure out what the voicing is, or you're probably making it harder than it really is, because most good guitar players aren't like they're voicing things in a way that makes sense for their hands, and if they're doing one thing here, the next part is probably not far away from what the thing, and that's very true with that solo. It's like it's all very economical. It makes it look a lot easier than it really is.
Yeah. Folks at home can't see. Or people that are listening on the earbuds or whatever, Chad's actually doing all the hand motions and movements.
Sorry,
underneath the screen. So I've just had some people drive past us on I-45 North here, and they think, "Is he playing with himself?" Yeah, he's a bass player. That's all they do. Watch your leg.
You want to donate money, help that kid.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Eric Bell, Pink Floyd thing, again, I'm not a huge Pink Floyd fan, so again, I don't know.
You're not a fan at all.
That's not true. I do like back in the 80s, they did that live, that big laser light thing, and Gilmore was playing his ass off, and and they had the backup singers who did not look bad at all.
Dude, back in the 80s, that was 40 years ago.
Shut up.
40 years ago. Dude, what the hell?
You know what? You know what? WAC 182 can fuck off too.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's it. I'm going to bring them up on my song.
Yeah.
It's just like, you sit back and think about that. You're like,
I know.
What happened, dude?
Was that the tour after Roger Waters left?
Roger Waters? Oh, yeah, he was long gone.
Yeah.
There wasn't even a stench by that time. What a grumpy cunt.
I know.
Fucking Roger Waters is. I don't know. I haven't heard his stuff because I'm not much of a fan to, But I really did. I enjoyed that concert, whatever that concert was. It was just really, just the sound was lush and big, and the stage was phenomenal. They all played well, so I enjoyed that. But again, would I go out and seek the music? No. It's just, and it was nice to, I think I was drinking back then too. I might have just been like in a coma trying to.
I was drinking back then too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. And I just, let's take a moment here. Let's take a moment and show our appreciation and thank Miss Kelly Navarro.
Yes.
Hello, Kitty Bates. What a phenomenal woman that is. Not only has she told us that we are two songs away from our 300th kill.
Wow.
Two songs away, but she's also put together a Spotify. Emily Young, you were asking.
Yes.
She put together a Spotify playlist of all the songs that we killed.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
Yes. So I think we should go to Atlanta right now. Just swing by Atlanta, Georgia. That is not Texas up the road here. Atlanta, but we go to.
Can we find the playlist? Is it already up?
Yeah.
I gotta check that out. Yeah. I want to see what was killed through all 300.
Yeah. I wish I had the time. But yes.
I want to see how many bands I don't know.
Yeah. So let's see, 300 kills. You won't know 200.
Oh, that hurt.
I know.
Well, that one actually got me a little bit.
Yeah.
I know the names, but it's so funny. You talk about like you said, you listened to metal early on, and then Chad was talking about it. You said something about not being able to change the radio. Then I'm like, man, what was playing at my house when I was a kid? And it was like, my mom was like top 40. We were always like at the radio by the pool or the beach, and
yeah.
My dad was like,
"This is Lake Havasu, Arizona."
Yeah, I don't remember too much of California. I lived there until I was nine. I swear, the years go on. It's like you remember like seconds. You just don't remember.
Yeah,
you can't remember days.
You don't remember what your dad listened to.
I know he was a big Huey Lewis fan.
God, I like that guy.
Yeah, he was. I know that. He had tons of vinyl, so we always had lots of vinyl. And I'm trying to think of like what he used to play. But. I think my mom may have ran the radio. I don't know.
Yeah, Huey Lewis, man, that's enough.
I know that they were big on that. That's where, like I was telling, I've said this before on the podcast, that was my first real concert.
Yeah.
My mom was like, no, we're going to, we're taking you there. This is who you got to see first. And
wow, what a great, that's a parody.
Yeah.
So, top of your head, best Huey Lewis song, go.
Oh, dang.
I know.
I don't know.
I know, Chad, what you got? I know.
Oh, good.
They're all so good. They're all so good. I'm just going to go with my favorite, them covering Boys Are Back in Town. But if I have to pick their best song, I'm just going to say Harder Rock and Roll. Why? Because
it's good, man.
It's one of the first that just comes to mind. Are there better songs? Yes. But
I just have this memory of them. Like, I was going through my dad's vinyls, and I don't know what album it is, but it's kind of them like this, and they got one guy's kind of in the bottom. The album, like I can kind of see the album as a kid, and I remember my dad telling me you need to listen to them, like as I was young going through the records, and because I was going through like, dad, who's this, I kind of have a foggy memory of that, but I can just remember him going,
do you ever go through his magazines? I'm just kidding.
I got trouble for that.
Yes,
we always got trouble for that.
I What's it? I'm trying to remember the name of the song. It came out the same time as I Want a New Drug, and it has the same actress in it, the same model is in that video for this other song.
Oh, that's a good song. It stuck with you?
Somebody sing a little bit?
Yes, it's true. I'm so happy to be stuck with you. I don't want to sing it because it's going to be stuck in my fucking head.
No, that one.
No. No, Power of Love.
Oh, that's good.
Heart of Rock and Roll. Hip to Be Square. That's a great one. Working for a Living. I'm Changing. That's my favorite. That or Trouble in Paradise. That's it. No more.
Yeah, it's like a love song.
Yeah, but they all are a love song. Huey's a lovable guy. A funny side note here. Why do you think I can smell the wood burning? Yeah, there was one of these groupies that was she was telling all her backstage antics, and she said the best she ever slept with and the worst she ever slept with. Can anybody guess? Okay, I'll give you a hint. The best she ever slept with was Huey Lewis.
I feel like that was the easy answer, but I was like, I feel like I'm getting set up here.
Yeah, the worst was David Lee Roth.
He had an off night. Give him another chance.
Yeah, I know.
It's too narcissistic, probably.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I wish I could remember her name, but yeah, she never called up again.
They, like, broke down into, like, a cappella at that concert. And
yeah.
I was like...
I saw the same one. I think I saw the same one.
I was like, this is crazy. Like, I just was like, as a kid, like, you're just like... You don't quite appreciate it as you do, you know, when you're older, like, the musical side. But all I remember was going, wow. Like, that's... It seems so unreachable to do something like that. What they're doing.
I will say, two of the best performers I've ever seen... were Huey Lewis and John Sykes, who I mentioned earlier. John Sykes played guitar for Whitesnake for a very short time, played Thin Lizzy for not long enough, and he also had his own band, Blue Murder, and then which changed to the Sykes band or whatever. But a phenomenal guitar player. If you're not familiar, please go listen to some John Sykes. Look him up on YouTube. Ladies, I would not recommend going and watching the videos of John Sykes' days in Whitesnake. I posted a video a while back, might have been last year sometime, but I watched the whole concert and I thought I might be pregnant after watching it. It was the most syrupy, is that a word? Sticky, flamboyant, boisterous, macho, I mean, shirt, I shouldn't talk about shirts open, but shirts open all the way down. Every single move looked choreographed, but in their own. It was Neil Murray on bass, Cozy Powell on drums, David Coverdale on vocals, John Sykes on guitar. I want to say there was a keyboard player too, but they didn't even show him. He didn't even get. I mean, they didn't go past his shoes. They didn't go. Did nothing near him. So, but it was one of those things where they're just every song is. The tongue out and the mic stand all the way up, and it's just. I said, I think I might be pregnant. I don't. I did this shit. So very, very, very funny.
Yeah.
Early Whitesnake. Very fun to watch. And if you're in a band with backing tracks, I would strongly advise you get your moves from that. You know, because you've already got your songs in a box. You may as well get your moves from a. It's just hilarious to watch. They made Poison look like the fucking. You know, like a choir, you know, like a. Anyway.
God.
Did I tell you we're sold out? Look at that. Write to your mother. Words to your mother. Words to your mother.
Oh, no, the group, the WhatsApp group.
Yes.
So we got the WhatsApp group on. We're going to start sending that out, how to get to it, and then we can all.
Yeah, this is for the Ireland tour, right?
Yeah, Ireland tour, yeah.
Okay,
everybody will be getting an email from me. You probably already have it if you're on the tour. We'll be asking for your t-shirt size because there will be a special t-shirt. We've collaborated on the design and it is pretty much ready to go, and I think you'll dig it. And so make sure you apply to that email so we can make sure that everybody has the proper size of that shirt.
Yes, so this is for Ireland 2023, and man, I'm just excited about this. I'm just so excited to get going again. We've been gone for 3 years.
Yeah, it's actually been 4 years, 2019.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
All right, so Slapper Day. This is not Slapper Day. Now we're going back in time. But I'm going to ask you, guys, another impossible question.
Oh, yeah. Bring it on.
But you may as well, because we've already been on the road for 3 hours going the wrong way. So here we go. Does anybody have any idea what day it is today? What national day it is today?
I don't know if this is a hint to help us, Chad, because I feel like we got to team up on this. But I thought yesterday was National Daughter's Day, because I saw all these posts about your daughter or something. So what's today? I don't know if that helps.
His daughter?
Yeah.
His daughter's.
She was cute.
Yeah, he didn't even know we're there.
National Kiss a Ginger Day.
You were getting frisky.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought that was every day.
I just put that ball right back in my own basket.
Man. All right, we need to pull over. All right.
I have no idea.
Well, you should know.
We should. Give us a hint.
Players Day.
Give us a hint.
No, I'll give you a hint. It's pretty much that day every day for us, but.
Rock Day?
No.
Crush?
No.
Coffee Day.
Coffee Day.
Oh!
This day really? Is National Fucking Coffee Day.
Did you know that? I didn't get that one.
Did you know that?
No, it is?
Yes. So.
Is that a real thing?
That's what it said.
It's a day for everything.
Yeah.
Is there a day?
Like a day for National Day Day?
Yeah. Yeah, like what's today we celebrate other days. It's like the Tuesday of the week. It doesn't really have anything, so that's sort of snuggled next to the one next to it.
Yeah. But you're right, I did see the daughter's and the son's national or whatever it was day. I did see those and
I feel like those come often.
I feel like
they come more than once a year.
That sounds rude. Hey. Sounds vaguely sexy.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that was. I didn't even want to comment after that. I'm like,
I'm
just gonna duck out of frame.
Yeah. The national son. It's funny. I always see these photographs, and it happens a lot on birthdays too on social media. If you're not on social media, man, just good luck. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. I'm so proud of you. I'm jealous. If you're not on social media. But if you are on social media, you'll notice that when it's somebody else's birthday, the person posting the picture of them together, you'll notice that the picture of them, the people that are posting the picture of the person that's having the birthday, you'll notice that they always look really good. And the birthday person does not typically having their best day. But they're always looking good. And happy birthday, friend!
It's not about the birthday person, it's about them.
I know, but it just cracks me up because it's it doesn't bother me anymore because I'm
so bad at that. Like, I hate trying to keep up with the just hitting the happy birthday button on everybody. I'm like, man, I just want to do like a, can we just have an automatic thing where I just go bink and it's just going to automatically go happy birthday? Because at this point, it just feels so impersonal. Like it just feels like, in order to be on like Facebook or something, you've got to get happy birthday. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a baby about it, but I'm like, man, I wish that would just go away.
Yeah. I can't keep up. I just can't keep up.
Just give me a call and say, hey, man, happy birthday. I'm like, heck yeah. What's up? Like,
right.
I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not that I don't appreciate it. Cause you know, sometimes that's the only way you talk to certain people, but
especially with people like us who have a million friends on Facebook, it gets lost. You don't see them all.
Well, you can't get to them. Back in the day, you could just scroll until you were done. Now you can't. Now only then you see what they want you to see, and blah 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 blah. It's quite. It would drive you nuts. That's why I'm saying, if you're not on social media, well done.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
Yeah.
And I am jealous.
More of that. Go for it.
I'll give you. Did you guys have? I mean, there's so many. This is, you know, how long is a piece of string, but. If I had to ask you right now, what's your biggest pet peeve with social media right now? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
That you can't link to any other external thing and have it actually be shown to anybody. I hate that.
So what you're trying to say is the social media higher-ups are eliminating your post because it doesn't involve them.
Like if it's a link, right. If it's a link that takes you away from Facebook...
Oh, it's definitely
suppressed.
They won't
show you to any, like, maybe one or two people will like it, but it's most other people are not even seeing it.
Yeah.
So if I'm linking to our website, sometimes it works on the personal, but definitely on the migrants page.
What do you
on
say?
The page for migrants. The there'll be a few likes, like if I link to the new show listing on our website. But they the page gets everything gets you listed because they want you to boost every single post you do. But it's true, like if I'm posting a YouTube video.
By boost, you mean
boost by like basically buying ad money for it to to pay. Like it's just a nice post you have here. It's a shame that nobody saw it. It's essentially what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so if we have a new Slabbergast episode, if I link directly to the YouTube video for it, nobody sees it. So I'm always trying to figure out. Like, I just won't put a link in the post. I just try to hope people figure it out. Because I feel like even if I mention YouTube, Facebook won't show it to anybody. It's so fucking annoying.
Wow. Yeah.
That is the biggest problem with social media, is that it's very selfish. It doesn't want you to go anywhere else. You have to stay here all the time.
I think mine is the repetitive ads. I'll hide them, and it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why am I wasting my time?
Yeah.
I'll see the same thing over and over again, and I'm like, why are we... I get it. I don't mind the ads and promoting, but I'm like, man, okay, I'm going to hide this, or I'm not really into this, and then it's like, they're like, oh, you hid that? I'm going to send it to you times 15.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how it is. I'm like...
My pet peeve is that everybody right now is that, I challenge you to take 14 pictures of yourself a day and post them in the blah, blah,
And
what?
You don't do that?
No.
If you don't do that, you'll have bad luck for 7 years.
I know.
Is that with a selfie challenge or something? What is that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just making up the, but it's, I have to post, 30 pictures of myself and say wonderful things about me because nobody else did in the last 5 minutes. So I ask them, so my tip to you is this, free tip, right? Is set your just look at the clock. Say your thing for about 5-10 minutes. Do what you got to do on there. Say if you have a birthday, you got to do. Say it and get off and turn it off because my there's so many. It's to the point where all the things that I despise are becoming. They're highlighting for me. I don't need to carry that shit. I don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm just going on. I'm doing, and I will respond to if we do get quite a few inquiries for shows on our Blackguards page, and they so I'll respond to that. I'll get that message. That there's an inquiry, and I'll go and as fast as I can. But again, I'm not going to jump off a roof, literally, for to run and ask. Hey, well. What are you doing on Patty's Day? Not you. The end. So, there's just, it really is, you got to limit your time.
Yeah.
But
that's some people's interaction, man.
Yeah.
They right? They're at home, they're...
Oh, I know.
That's their interaction.
Or worse.
So it's hard. I try to engage with that because I'm like, this is how we communicate. Otherwise, you don't have it. You don't have nothing. And so you have to kind of...
I understand.
Play this balance,
You have to have a contrabalance, am I right?
Hey, nice.
You see what I did? Well done. No, but you really do. You gotta be able to.
Yes.
But again, and if you're on a job, close your ears. If you're on a job and you're working for somebody and you're getting paid an hourly wage or you're getting paid a salary and stuff like that, and you're still on there doing that stuff, doing all this stuff that we're talking about, messing around and just liking stuff and unliking stuff and befriending and unfriending and befriending and just doing all this shit, right? Then your job, you're actually committing theft, in my view. I think it's stealing because you're not productive. There's no way you can be productive if you're a truck driver and you're on the phone right now and you're watching, whatever the fuck you're watching. Yeah, there's shit happening on the road. I don't know if you see these wankers here, but they're certainly not watching the fucking road, so you better. And sorry. That's my thing. Anyway, so that's
my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah.
Contour balance, I'm like,
phones,
it just drives me nuts. I'm like, maybe I'm old school thinking like that, but
no, you have agreed for this amount of money, you're going to come in and you're going to do this amount of work.
Yeah.
And if you're liking, you're doing all the stuff on your phone or you're watching stuff on the phone, there's no way in hell that you could do the same work without it, with it, right? There's no way that they add up to be the same.
Yeah.
No way. And, anyway, I'm getting angry again. So,
I always make the joke. I'm like, I didn't realize everybody needed their phone to go to the bathroom. Like, everyone has it in their hand as they go in.
You know,
you that? I didn't know that was a thing. Like, because that's when they're using it. Like,
no. Well, so what you do is you take the Wi-Fi, you turn the Wi-Fi off.
Yeah. Just put the wire around the room. Can't get in there.
No, fuck that. No.
Yeah.
yeah, let's kill a song. We're here.
Okay.
We're here. What you got? Anybody?
Yep. I'll go.
All right.
It's a little bit of low-hanging fruit, but I'm going to do it anyway. I feel like maybe, now that you said you got 300 songs, maybe this song of this band, that's the band's low-hanging fruit, hasn't been killed. And this is going to be, I saw a post, I think you put it up about Iron Maiden opening for Guns N' Roses. So I made a comment on there, who's Guns N' Roses? And people were like, you're too young for them. So I want to kill, I just laughed because I just go, that's awesome. I go, that's awesome. But I was like, I want to kill a Guns N' Roses song. And I believe it's called, is it November Rain?
Ah, I killed that one.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, maybe that one snuck through.
Good call, though.
Oh, because it's, not only is it nonsense, but it's extremely long nonsense. And I know killing Guns N' Roses makes the front seat of the van right now super happy, but I've never been a fan of them anyway. I mean, just, I never bought a record. I've never owned a t-shirt. I've never had a hat. I just don't like it. It's just not my thing. Like, it's maybe, it just wasn't my thing. So I'm killing that song. I don't think I've ever listened to that song all the way through.
If you were around when it came out, so you would have been like 13, 14 or something when they came out, right?
Yeah.
11, so. We were absolutely beat over the head with that song every day. It was kind of like when Thriller came out. Every time you turn on MTV, it was...
I feel like I remember on MTV, but maybe my mind's just convincing myself that I saw it back then. I couldn't tell you
any lyrics. If you watched MTV, you saw it. Yeah. It was on every 5 minutes.
Yeah, so that's the song I'm killing, I feel. So it's double killed, I guess.
Yeah, we're long into the double kills. Mine might be a double kill, I don't know.
All right. So what are you shining the light on?
So now I'm going to shine a light on a brand new song. Since we're going to do the great band of Blink-182. So they just released a new song called One More Time. And so I'm going to shout out to that. And even Travis Barker drumming has a little vocal part on it. And I thought that was kind of neat because I've never seen him do any singing. But the premise of the song is, you know, Travis Barker years back almost died in that plane crash. And then Mark got real sick. And so then that's when the band got back together for the original, you know, those three guys. And that's what the song's about. He's like, man, why does it take these tragedies for us to come back together and forgive each other? Because, you know, they had issues, you know, and that speaks to me because I have relationships in my life that I would do anything to have fixed. And they're just not fixed, right? And you're just like, you know, and I'm like, man, is it going to take, like, somebody passing for it to come back together? Is it going to take some tragedy for it to come back? And so, you know, I really got caught up in the message of that song, and so I'm gonna shine a light on it. It's a cool song. It's a little different than their normal stuff, but it's cool. That's the song I'm picking this week.
Very cool. Chad, what you got?
The song by Thompson Twins, Hold Me Now. Remember that one?
I know it. I thought we killed that.
Did we? That's what I'm wondering. Oh, I got another idea, but
I remember. I remember wanting to kill it back when I heard it the first time.
It's an annoying song, and it was played to death. It's still played. I still hear it in the grocery stores and stuff. And it's got those really terrible backing vocals that, whatever the hell he's saying in the choruses.
Oh, really, staring me?
Yeah, that thing, right? I remember about that song too is they did Live Aid, and they got to that part where the backing vocals start coming in, and they were horribly flat, like out of key. So, at least I say this was the days before auto-tune, so that's the best they could do. At least they were trying. But fuck that song. And to shine a light, I've been listening to a lot of NXS lately, mostly the Shabu Shaba album, and I was torn because this is not shining a light on a deep cut. These were both hits of theirs. At least one of them was a single. So I decided it's either or. So I'm choosing don't change, which I may have talked about before. Don't change is to me like the total anthem song, like the perfect anthem song for when I was in high school. And it's still, I still get emotional listening to it. It's just a fantastic song. The other one I was thinking of was The One Thing, which is the first song off that record, which was, I think, your first single off the record, too. Those are both great songs. And you don't, when you hear NXS these days, it's usually stuff off of Kick, you know, I Need You Tonight, or New Sensation, or the one that you covered. All great stuff, too, but their earlier albums have some fantastic stuff on it as well. But do listen to Don't Change. Don't Change is an incredible song.
Why don't you put a link to it?
Yeah, I'll put a link on all these stuff. I don't know if I do that, but these are worthy.
Yeah.
You know that song, Turbo? Don't Change?
I don't know.
You dig it. It's totally up your alley, yeah. So, anyway.
So he shot a line out, hit me, baby, one more time, and you're saying, don't change. Don't change it. That's pretty cool. We're going back in time, but we're still... Anyway, so my shine a light moment is going to be the aforementioned John Sykes playing with David Coverdale doing Love Ain't No Stranger. It's getting kind of a cheesy, you know, hard rock, ballad, rocker kind of thing. It's got that big gushy intro, and then it breaks into the heavy stuff, but just the guitar tone on that song. If you know Thin Lizzy's Thunder and Lightning, you'll know John Sykes' guitar tone, and that is monstrous.
We're on.
We are.
Okay, you ready? This is my kill. It's, again, the low-hanging fruit edition. Thank you, Turbo. But this is a song called, and it will get in your head. Please don't look it up. Or don't listen to it on the magnificent Kelly Navarro's Spotify list. Please do not look up the song. It's awful. But it's called God Gave Rock and Roll to Us by a band called Kiss. And if you've ever heard Kiss, I'm sorry. And if you've ever liked them, I'm really sorry. And if you ever hear this song, again, I deserve to be cursed. It's the worst. So, I mean, they got some really bad fucking songs. So, that was my kill, and I apologize. We got so into the episode that we forgot that. So, Kelly, I hope this brings us to 300. Thank you all. Cheers.
Yes. Feeling lucky. I'm going to ask you guys a question here. A kind of a eureka moment for me was re-listening to some of my old John Sykes records. And if you've heard us play, there's a thing that you do in the guitar. It's called a pinch harmonic. It's where you can kind of make the strings squeal. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I just kind of found out about myself. And this is going to be part of a larger question. We may have to cut all this shit up. It was re-listening to this stuff, to this John Sykes stuff, that I realized where I had stolen most of my
pinches.
Yeah, you know the pinch harmonics and the squeals and the you know that stuff. Came mostly from John Sykes, and I had forgotten about it because John Sykes had disappeared off the scene and out of sight, out of mind. So you kind of Anyway, so I'm re-listening to the stuff, and again, then I listened to, and we talked about this before many, many moons ago, but our version of Comanche Black and Tans, I did the and then I was listening to Cold Sweat by Thin Lizzy, John Sykes, and I'm going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That kind of is it's just amazing that you figure out where... We were talking about this last week as well. Flogging Molly, stealing from Pogues stuff.
Yeah.
You know? I can't knock it because I just did the same stuff.
Yeah, but you're not...
No, I'm not sitting... But it's one of those things. So I'm going to ask you guys, can you tell me something about yourselves that nobody knows?
Music?
Anywhere. I mean, just... Yeah,
music?
Anything. Or what would people be surprised to know?
Yeah, I had trouble with this question last time.
Yeah.
I'm like, how so dark do I go? There's things I don't want you to know that I'm not going to mention.
You do whatever you want. I'm just saying. It was one of those things that's kind of like, wait. And while you ponder, I shall spew. our very good friend who we've spoken about many times on here. You have to get him on here. You need to know him. An old friend of mine for many, many years. Plays in a few bands around town. His name is Kent Newman. And Kent is not only a brilliant guitar player with massive tone, massive guitar tone and just chops, and he can emulate any era of guitar and make you believe that he's been playing it all his life. He's kind of phenomenal, but he's also, like I say, a very generous, very, very wonderful friend, dear friend. He's been coaching me in my guitar tone, in my quest for my guitar tone. Got a new rig I'm trying to work with. And Kent's been phenomenal in trying to steer me in the way of, you know, trying to, you know, attain that tone. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm going for that kind of rich, dark, heavy John Scythe kind of tone, because it was one of those things where I just found out I've been trying to rip John Sykes off, you know, for this amount of time. It's been quite eye opening.
Do you want to know something musically or anything?
Anything.
Anything.
Anything. Doesn't matter. I brush my teeth before I eat. Did you know that?
Is that real?
That's real.
Before you eat.
Before I eat. And after, but I brush it before.
I do see you brush your teeth before shows.
Always before shows.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh man.
I bring my own microphone. And sometimes when we don't have our own microphones, when we're, you know.
Yeah.
Very rare, but I mean, if we have, you know. Oof.
Oh, it's bad. Yeah. I got sick off of a microphone at the Houston International Festival one year, and that was the last time.
Was that the time you put it down? You're like, oh,
That was the same gig where they had the TC Electronic rig by me.
Yeah.
That I liked so much. But yeah, that was the end of that. I was like, I'm not using other people's mics anymore.
Yeah.
It's not
necessary. It was actually Luba at the Continental Club in Houston, Texas. Luba said, you know, we're changing out the house mics, put our own mics in, and he kind of walked by me, shook his head. He goes, I don't know. He goes, I don't know why more bands don't do this. He goes, why don't they bring their own mics? You know, I said, like, I'm not using that.
I think about karaoke night.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
Yeah.
Why would you want it?
Croaky night?
Yeah. It's
disgusting.
Yeah.
Soylent night, croaky night. Yes.
I mean, imagine passing around the same lollipop between like 20 people.
Oh, here's, well, I may have said this week before, but our good friend, our dear friend, David Lee Roth, said, but he didn't like public swimming pools and, you know, chemicals and all that stuff. And he goes, all right, get a bucket, fill it with water. All right, now you sit in it. Now you sit in it. Now you sit in it. Now you gargle it.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck if you don't like David D. Roth. I think he's the best.
You gargle it,
you know. Everything.
I don't want.
Nah. Yeah. So why do you swim like this? Oh, it's a puppy pool.
Yeah, I got my floaty on.
Yeah. So we don't have to answer that. But
I got something.
All right, go.
I mean, it's not like some like dark secret thing, but I got like an event that happened that I wish what I would have done differently as a kid. But when I was a freshman going into high school, or in high school, I was like 90 pounds, like real small kid. I was scared of high school. I hated it. I loved school, but man, I was terrified. And I was in the school band. You know, I was in marching band and the band. And I remember the very first football game that we had to go out there and play. And of course, I'm a freshman. I should have been playing snare drum or something, but they make you play the big bass drum, right? I got to get kind of initiated in. And so I'm carrying around this bass drum that's probably as big as I am, and the people in the stands, like the older kids, they're like throwing ice at me and throwing popcorn, and I was so terrified that I actually quit playing the school band, because I was like, I can't. I was so scared. And at that time I was already working on band scholarships for U of A, the University of Arizona, as a freshman. And I'm like, man, I wonder what would have happened if I didn't bail. I stayed in it my freshman year, left my 10th grade year. What would have happened? So I remember I had that meeting with the band counselor. I was like, I'm quitting the band. He's like, what are you going to go do? I was like, I'm going to go join this punk band. I'm out of here. And it was like, I wanted to get more in the cool kids instead of the band kids. And now
my age now, I'm like, fuck that, I should have stayed over there. But anyway, so that's just a story I think people don't know. Yeah. But
I sure didn't know that.
Wah wah.
Chad, what you got? Nothing.
Did I ever tell you about when I changed my stage name?
To Grace?
Yeah. But you knew. Yeah. So,
yes. Wait, what?
See,
I'm so happy right now.
Really, only people who knew me back then or close friends like this guy have heard the story already. But I, back in my early 20s, so I wanted to change my name. I wanted to do like something like David Bowie did, where he changed his name from Jones to Bowie.
Davy Jones.
But he never David legally Bowie. Changed his name. He was always legally David Jones. That's why his son is Duncan Jones, for example. And his daughter is Lexi Jones.
Call me Lexi.
Yeah. So I decided to change my name. I was playing solo gigs at the time, and I changed it Smully to Grace just for the stage, and Grace came from my mother's middle name, and it seemed, you know, people seemed to dig it, and I kind of hung with it for a while, and then I found out that this was kind of annoying, that live drummer's named Chad Gracie.
Who?
Chad Gracie. Yeah, isn't that right?
I think so.
Yeah, so that kind of annoyed me. I was like, well, whatever. But the thing that killed it though is because part of my motivation for this, was kind of estranged from my dad at the time, and I didn't really realize it when I made it, that decision, that I was trying passive aggressively to hurt my father's feelings. And then once I realized that I actually had hurt his feelings, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to use the name anymore. It's like, I don't like this feeling. This is not fun anymore. So I stopped. I went back to Chad Smalley. So
you were Chad Grace
for about a couple of years. Yeah.
Did you still have Impaler in the middle?
No. There is printed evidence of this, because at the time, this is back when Zuzu's Pedals, this is like 92, 91, 92 or something like that. And I did this, I participated in this rock operetta production with Zuzu's Pedals called Hot Cup of Joe. And I was billing myself as Chad Grace at the time. So there's this coffee mug that came out that I think Jerry or Brendan drew the design on it. And on the second, on the backside of the coffee mug was like a playbill of all the people who were in it. Carolyn Wonderland was in it. Our friend TC Manson. And myself, Chad Grace, on it. So that's been immortalized now on that coffee mug.
So you have one at home?
I have a coffee mug since Chad.
So you post a picture of it?
I will.
Heck yeah, dude.
So,
all right, now.
All right, your story wins. That's a good one.
I'm going to tell you something about yourselves that you may or may not know.
Oh God!
Okay,
what?
So Turbo, when you get very, very, very serious, and you're telling us how it is, your sentences end like this. Did you know that you look up and you close your eyes? I told him.
No.
Oh yeah. Did you know you do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know you do that? And Chad,
that's like
the maybe not conscious. 90. Me. I'm going to take 93.2. Or 93.4 on a good day. 93.4. Let's just round it up to 91.7
of sentences.
Of your sentences end in a laugh. Oh. Just like that. Did you know that? Sometimes you finish them off on the same level, but most of the time it's here. And then I shagged her. Is everything that funny? But just.
It's me.
Yes, I know. It's sort of one of those things. I was sitting there just writing my goodbye note.
Oh. And you,
I was just, you know, keeping the notepad. It's very, very funny. It's very strange that the stuff that you think of when you're, let's just say, celebrating National Coffee Day too much.
Yeah.
Not battling the hornet.
That's not something, I'm sure, like you, those are unconscious mannerisms. I'm not aware that I do that when I'm doing it, but you have. I've noticed you tease me about it a couple times. Like, it's not that funny. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, did I just not?
Yeah.
I don't.
But I know. I know you don't do it. That's why. And there's many moments on, and I'm sure nobody's caught them, but there's stuff, especially on Slappercast. We have that. You know, during the let's call it a titter at the end of your. Your sentence tapers off with a laugh or with a titty or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll say,
what's funny about that?
Yeah, I'll usually say it, but there are many on here.
It's usually because there's something I'm thinking about related to it that I'm not saying, or I would say that either I might be embarrassed about what I'm saying, so I'll be sort of laughing self-consciously. It's probably one of the reasons why most of the time. But I think sometimes I'm like, something about it is funny to me in the moment, and I'm just not really thinking about whether or not it's funny to anybody else. Like that, just there, it just happened.
See, I knew in saying that I was gonna
like, how
that kind of worms.
That was totally. I did not plan that.
How much is he thinking about it now?
Yeah.
That's the three T-shirts: GL, Nah, NAH, and LOL.
It's like, you know, like there's a bubble,
dude.
Like a bat in a bathtub, and a bubble comes up, and you're like, whoa.
What?
It's never mind.
Yeah, we're gonna have to XXX this one.
Wait, what? A bathtub bubble?
Yeah, you just gotta have to ride it, you know. If it comes out of me against my will. What's the word I'm looking for? Uncontrollably. Involuntary.
Involuntary,
yeah.
Yes. Unconscious. Bubblicious.
Yeah. Bathtub bubble.
Yeah. Anyway, so again, that's the I think this is the most in-depth Slappercast I've ever participated in. So there.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So we're on our way to a place called Delas. It's salad backwards. I can't pronounce it forwards. It's like Montana, where you can actually, you can actually become a regular by knowing how to pronounce it. But we're going to play with a young fella by the name of Mark Kenneth. Yeah, he's playing accordion with us today. We're on our way to a place called Louisville. It's just outside of Salad. And we're going to play with Mark Kenneth. And this is going to be a lot of fun today. The temperature says 97 degrees, but we say fuck that because there's rock no matter what. It is National Coffee Day. It's Slapper Day. We're so giddy to get back here. I want to thank Darren from Penny and the Flamethrowers for always putting us into his events and putting us on such a great spot and great stage and sound and all that stuff. We're thoroughly looking forward to it. We'll probably do another piece behind this on the way home tonight. But I can guarantee you one thing. Kate Scott, thank you for the cookies. I know we haven't seen you, but I'm pretty sure. Thank you for that. But also, if you come today, I know you're going to see a rock and roll show that you're not going to see anywhere else in the world. And I promise you that.
Yeah.
If you like what you saw today, you know, we always ask that you subscribe or send it to somebody or tell somebody. We are going to, you know, we have a lot of shit coming up. It's now October, Rocktober.
Yes.
And we're going to send all our Irish tour heads. We're going to send them all the instructions and the WhatsApp group, blah blah blah, on and on and on and on and on. It's going to be great. October is we're just next month we're coming, going out to Turbo's hometown and Heidi's hometown, and we're going to do some damage out there.
That's right.
I did tell you there's new patches, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to look really good on Larry's jacket beside his tattoo of the same. Lastly, everything's been lastly. The online t-shirts have been amazing.
Oh my
Thank
God.
You all. To,
yeah.
We have a Halloween shirt that's out now. It's only available online, and it's just overwhelmed by the amount of people that have jumped on that. And the best looking person to wear one so far has been Jay Holland. And I might even post that photograph if he doesn't call me back soon. If you don't call me within 5 minutes, let's go live, because he cut the nipples out of it.
Is that the thing he said?
Yeah.
I couldn't open it up on my phone. And I was like, what?
Oh.
And there you guys are like, yes. I'm like, this is gold and I can't see it.
Yes. But then, and the shirt was designed by a member of our family, Mr. Connor Devlin, Patrick's firstborn.
Yep,
so rad.
He's a very talented. It's not the first time; it's the second time he's designed a shirt for us.
Yeah.
So we as soon as we put this up, it started flying off the so-called shelves like hotcakes, and it's still selling.
Right? Yeah.
So go and get it. It's not going to be there forever.
Heck yeah. Yeah, I asked him for that, and he over delivered. So we're so happy with that. So, and thank you all for. And we, as always, we thank you for listening. Thank you for checking it out, our Patreon. Kelly Navarro, especially, thank you. And
yes.
I called. Where's Heidi? By the way,
she's sleeping again.
I called Merch Maiden and Heidi. They had left some. It's the brand is called Damn Fine Coffee.
It's some of the best coffee that I've had in a long time, and I called them to thank them for it. And if you get a chance, if you're in the Clear Lake area, go get yourself some damn fine coffee. You will be damn fine impressed. It's that good. But again, thank you to the ladies for the coffee and the buzz and the on and on and on. But thank you all for listening. And stay close. We're gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna post a lot of really fun stuff from Ireland.
Yeah,
here in the coming weeks.
Yeah,
and
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, we were a really great group going.
Can't wait.
So you ready?
Yeah.
We good? Thank you for listening. Cheers.
See ya.
You know where we are, kids?
No.
Check this out. Get Bent. We were just at Bent Distillery in Louisville.
Yep.
Old Town Louisville, Texas, USA. Let me tell you, the beautiful, the wonderful, the talented Mary shows up with gift bags full of whiskey, sunglasses, stickers, patches,
yep.
Cake. Cake? What? And we hadn't even played a note. We were doing this episode to say, Get Bent. Thank you very much, Bent Distillery.
Yeah.
For an amazing, amazing stage, amazing hospitality. Your food, your drinks, your staff are amazing, especially Mary. We thank you from the bottom of our drunken hearts. Thank you very much. Drinking that whole bottle of whiskey might have been a mistake, but this trip to Houston is amazing. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, dude. Look at this thing. It's sick. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to keep yours.
And we got bumper stickers.
Dude, we got spoiled today.
We got spoiled rotten. So, everybody, on Old Town Louisville, just outside of Salad. What's the town?
Salad.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. If you like handmade everything, and I'm talking about whiskey, and they do all their own liquor, they do all their food is all handmade, and it's top drawer, and the nicest people. So, go to Bent Distillery, Louisville, Texas. Tell them Blackguard sent you. And again, thank you. For all of our stuff. We love you.
Yes, thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, kids. Thanks for joining us. We are Blackguards. We're going southbound on I-45. We're leaving the crap. We're getting to the real thing. So we just want to do it. Let's call this the Kate spot. The Kate Scott spot.
Kate spot. Yes.
Say that back.
Scott spot.
Tremendous day. Gorgeous. Gorgeous weather. Great stage. Daniel running sound.
Yeah.
Amazing. Darren from Penny and the Flamethrowers treating us. And also, so I don't know if you saw our last segment, which I hope you did, because Bent Distillery spoiled us rotten with whiskey, with cups, coffee mugs, all kinds of stuff. They gave us everything. And they also, hospitality was through the roof. We ate at a place called Prairie House.
Oh, yeah.
In downtown Louisville. Do yourself a favor. Food is out of this world. Service is bad. They took care of all the bands, all the security, all the volunteers.
Yeah,
they did
nice.
That. Amazing. So, but this is it. This is the Kate Scott spot. And we just want to say a very special thank you. One of the most generous, just big-hearted, wonderful people we've met. We're so lucky to have her and Mary coming on the Ireland trip, which is sold out now. But we are so glad to have you along, and we're just unworthy. We're so grateful. Every time we see her, there's cookies, there's just amazing gifts, and she just spoiled us rotten. So
yeah,
thank you very much, Skate. Because it's the Kate Scott spot.
Skate Scott.
Yeah, and then also we do a collective big thank you to Mark Kenneth. For stepping in on accordion today.
Yeah, and, great.
Yeah, if you've seen any of the past episodes, we've spoken so highly of him before, even though he's Scottish. He is a tremendous player and came out just nailed it. Daniel running sound was just blown away. He couldn't believe that we don't play with him every day. He just said, what? He just Amazed. So, did a tremendous job. You guys got anything? You good?
No, it's just good to be back. The festival's always really smoothly run. They always have great sound guys, great sound people, great staff, security. Everybody's just so cool.
Also, one of the most amazing things that happened today in Louisville, at Old Town Louisville, USA, the crew, I kid you not, the crew that looked after us last year on sound and lights and everything, they came back to see us, even though they weren't stationed at our stage. They came back to say hello today.
Yeah.
And it was just...
That was a trip.
Heartwarming to see
them. That was such a trip.
They all came over. Yeah. The whole crew came over. And we want to say thank you. Thank you. They always take such good care of us.
Yeah.
But to come on, it's a big festival.
Yeah.
There's stages everywhere. They're working the main stage. They came over to see us and tell us that they were sorry that they were just... Heart grew 10 sizes today. Thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That blew me away.
Oh, really good coffee at Perk.
Oh, the Perk Coffee House. PERC. Perk Coffee. Do yourself a favor.
God damn. So good.
Listen to that. Listen to that blasphemy.
Yeah.
It wasn't fit for Jehovah. You're fucking right. first time we had it there, we thought it was a fluke. It's like, God, this is really good. And we're all like, you know, and there was much rejoicing. You know?
Yeah.
But then the second, we should pay Monty Python. I think we should send him a check. Anyway, I digress. And then the other time we went back, I think we were there three times. Yeah, we were there three times. But I'm going to tell you, the coffee there, all hit, no miss.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, because you got, did you just get him a black coffee with no shots, right? That's all he had. Ours had two shots in it, so you could taste the espresso. He was just drinking black coffee, and he was looking at me going, this is really good.
Yeah.
This is David.
He said he could see sound waves.
Yeah.
But it was National Coffee Day, so.
Yeah.
So, Ed, let's stay on the coffee kick for a second. Perk Coffee, P-E-R-C, Perk Coffee in Louisville. Do yourself a favor. The other one I also want to shine a little light on here is Heidi Riggs. And Merch Maiden Lori Valenzi Buell, they left some coffee in my house, which we will we'll have on another segment, because when we get back to the woodshed, we'll have some I want to make espresso for you and just taste it. It's amazing. It's called Damn Fine Coffee. It's in Kima, Texas, and they brew all their own stuff, much like Perk, but they know their stuff. That coffee was heavenly. And I use that word very, 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 you know, I use it very sparingly. It was out of this world. So I've had it in brewed coffee. It's good. I had it in espresso. It's out of this world. So next time we're up at the thing, I want to show you something. But if you're a coffee fool, if you're a coffee fiend, if you're a coffee connoisseur, if you're a coffee wanker, you need to go and check these places out. I kid you not. I've been doing this my whole life. I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, he does.
I started off on freeze-dried Taster's Choice. Now I'm drinking the gourmet shit. And I'm going to tell you right now, I know what I'm talking about. Perk Coffee in Louisville has got to be up there in the top 10 in the country that we've had.
Yeah, and a great place to hang out, too. It's just really just cool. It's big, a lot of places to sit. A
lot of nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of couches.
Yeah.
There's an outdoor area. There's
an upstairs area, too.
Upstairs, a lounge upstairs. But it's so well decked out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... I don't know if I've ever said this on film before, but fuck corporate coffee. Fuck Starbucks. All that shit. I hate it. Every place has to look the same, but different.
Yeah,
you know, they're uncomfortable. They're church like. They're cold. You're a number or a mispronounced name or a foo-foo drink. Awful. These places, they had real people work behind the counter, big smile on their faces.
Yeah.
When we went back for seconds, they were, you know, remember same again.
Yeah.
Same. I mean, just nice as nice could be. Damn Fine Coffee, Kima, Perk Coffee in Louisville, do yourself a favor.
Yep.
So, and most importantly of all, thank you, Kate Scott, for the cookies.
Yes.
I wish the guys had got a chance to try them. Sorry. I thought it said Patty on the back.
It didn't.
Damn it.
Wow. Boss.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
I want to go back to that face you made, though. going to be wrong. Yes. I can see that as like a child. I need to get a picture of your parents of you, like, 5 years old, just, they're like, no, you can't play the music that loud. Give me a side-by-side. I want that. How do we get that? I want a side-by-side. We've got to steal that picture.
There are many. There are many like that.
Side-by-side.
Yeah.
And then you said coffee wankers. Am I a coffee wanker? Because I'm like, which category am I in? I'm not a coffee connoisseur.
Okay, well,
where
am I
at?
I'll ask you this.
Where am I at a year ago versus now?
I'll ask you this.
I didn't move far.
I'll ask you this.
Okay. All right.
I'll ask you this.
I couldn't stop.
That's okay. When I give you a sip of the coffee that I had today, the black eye, the two shots in black coffee.
Yeah.
What was your first reaction? Honestly, was it like, or was it, wow? I mean, I know it was intense because it's such a bold.
I would consider that like strong. Like, that it just tastes a little more light to it than usually I drink.
Okay,
coffee at home, it's a little easier to drink.
Yeah.
That was
because we drink it stout. We drink it really. It's powerful. It's thick. It's bold, but it's also it's not that burnt flavor. It's that.
No, it tastes good.
Yeah,
I didn't have a problem with the taste.
See, a coffee wanker would be, can I get some mocha?
Oh, I never do that. I hate that.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, can I keep sizzling? That's
a caramel macchiato.
Yes.
It's too like rich like that. Like I don't like that.
Yeah, and again, I understand that some people do they can't have really, really strong coffee, and I know that they put milk in it for that. I just have a problem when it turns into this, essentially it's a milkshake. You just go get a fucking milkshake, because you don't like coffee.
Right.
But there's 3 shots in it. I know, but there's 18 pounds of sugar and flavoring.
You know? I like ice in my coffee.
That's okay.
Like I don't want it cold, but I just like it almost like warm.
You don't
want
to burn your pussy. Oh shit! Did I say
that?
No,
that hurt.
No, of course it hurts.
It burns.
Yeah, that's it. on the last Slappercast episode, I mentioned Kent Newman, and back in the day when that lady burnt herself.
The one at McDonald's.
The McDonald's,
yeah.
And she burnt herself.
Oh yeah.
Ken, his idea was to put a caution may burn, or you know, caution hot coffee might burn pussy or something. It was a great. He had it down to a sticker size thing, you know, that he put on the menu.
Uh-huh.
You know, caution may burn pussy. It was so funny. Anyway, so that's where we're getting that. So funny. Anyway, but that's all I'm saying is, when you're drinking so much stuff to disguise the flavor, where you're drinking 10 sugars in your coffee to take the bite away, you're not enjoying coffee, you're enjoying sugar. So
yeah,
I think what I like going to these coffee shops, and we've gone to so many, is I think I almost like more watching your guys' reactions, because for me I'm like, it's good, you know, it's good, but I'm like,
so you're coffee voyeur.
I watch, and then you guys kind of go like this. You're like, and it's almost like this little code you have. You both are like,
this is good coffee.
Like, this is good coffee. Like, and then I'm like, okay, all right, this is good coffee. Let me see what this tastes like. Like, all right, like, this is the bar. You know, and I try to figure it out.
Yeah. So what we'll do is when we're on tour, or when we're on long distances and we stop for coffee, usually it's the first time that I'll see my phone. So I'll get to the messages and the, you know, just answering back, whatnot. So usually Chad will already be 4 or 5 sips into the coffee, and I can usually tell if his eyebrows go up, it's gonna be a good day. If his eyebrows don't go up, we still leave without burning the place down. But if he scowls,
yeah,
if there's any kind of like or shaking the head or, and he doesn't look for me to give his,
you have to solicit my opinion, his rating.
Yeah. So I kind of look up and I go, oh, fuck, or, you know, and I go, do they live or do they die? You know, he's like, yeah. Well, we've had people.
Yeah.
They live.
It's like a fucking mobster.
Yeah.
They live.
Yeah. Let them live. Let them live jail. Yeah.
Don't let them hammer.
Yeah.
Jail, they deserve a second chance.
Yeah, it's true. The coffee is just such a... I've said this 1,000 times too. When we're driving, it's so when I'm drinking right now, this is, again, just black coffee.
and a young lady named Merch Maiden McPuel gave me this. This is called, it's called the Espro, E-S-P-R-O. It's essentially a French press. You can see the top of it there. It's got, I don't want to do it because there's still hot coffee in here.
It's crazy.
So, yeah. So there's this much coffee. Well, you're not supposed to use this much. I use about 2 inches of coffee and then hot water. And then you use the, this is the press. And you, you know, you depress it, you know, 4 or 5 minutes after the coffee's been sitting for a little bit. And it filters out all the grinds. And then you're left with really good coffee. As long as you use good coffee to start with. So what? I just think this is a phenomenal invention. I think this is. I think we should contact these guys and try to do a sponsorship. We need to sell these, you know, our logo. Which, incidentally, Rochelle Fugate, we want to thank you in advance.
Yes.
For our new coffee mugs. Wow, what a sweetheart. So generous. Thank you very much. So I can't wait to show you them. But so these coffee containers, these travel mugs, these little bits of heaven. Let's call them the Satan's dildo. No, that's not too bad. This is a, I know. This is a such a delicious. Sorry, I got sidetracked. Imagine that. I was saying earlier when we're driving, especially for long distances, it's not even that I want coffee to guzzle. I want to sip coffee, and I just love having it. It's like a security blanket, and you know, just a little bit, and I can drink this whole thing. This whole thing could last me all night. Last me, you know, how long is a nighttime? About three, four minutes. Seriously, it could last for hundreds of miles, and I'm just, it really is. It's like a little pacifier.
Yeah, but there's always that. Not always, but those happy moments, like we're on tour and we played a show and we get back in the van, the drive, you know, 3 or 4 hours, God knows how long, to the next one, and get in the van, you're like, oh yeah, that coffee, hello.
It really is. It's like it's like Santa Claus, you know, just, you know.
Yeah.
So good. But and, you know, that, so this, I guess this is our caffeine moment.
It's coffee day.
It is National Coffee Day. It still is.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? We've already played and we're already on the way home, and it's only 11:20.
It's crazy.
On a Friday night.
That's
wow.
That's the world coming.
It's a rad show.
I know. Yeah.
It's a what?
Rad show.
It's good, man. Yeah. They serve nothing but radish.
I was like, who's Brad?
Brad. I don't know. Chad's flirting with me again, boss. I don't know what to do.
I know.
Dude, you're only supposed to call me Brad when the camera's off.
Yeah.
Oh. Talked about this shit.
He's staying on the head, Brad.
Man. Yeah. He's Brad the derailer. What did we say was next week? Home Sweet Farm?
Home Sweet Farm. Pirate Night.
Yes. First annual
Pirate
Festival, Brenham, Texas.
Heck yeah.
It may be landlocked, but it's going to be the capital of all pirates, pirate ports. Coming up, we're gonna christen that place. Looking forward to that. And also, Julia and Cameron from Home Sweet Farm are coming on the tour with us.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's right.
So we sent them. Incidentally, ladies.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, these are what you call postcards. Why am I showing you this? Because you don't write to your mother or my mother, and so that needs to change. We have a handful of these left. I'll show you everything we have left. Out of 18,000, this is all we have left. All right. So we have some postcards. These are actual postcards with you. Look on the back. That's where you put the stamp, and that's where you write. You know, hey, mom, go see Blackguards and don't bring dad because Chad's feeling frisky, right? So we have these left and we want to give them to you. If you would like them, you may email us, send them to you, but you need to have these.
Yeah.
So we want people to use these. We're going to send them out.
Yeah.
And we're already working on next year, 24.
Yeah.
So again...
It's very long. Thank you, message.
I know. This, I was just going to say, this is the longest Kate Scott spot.
You may be asking, what does this part have to do with Kate?
Yeah. This is not my beautiful segment. We are homeward bound. We're southbound. It is 11:24. It's 79 degrees, kids. We left here today and it was 106.
Wow.
106 to 79. That's that way a lot. That's all I know.
But thank you for listening. Thank you for Kate Scott. Let me start again. Cookies were fucking divine. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
As always.
Yes.
Thank you.
So we're unworthy. We're ungrateful. We're just kidding. We're very grateful.
We're ungrateful.
We are unworthy. But thank you so much. And I don't know if you know this, but Kate just got back from Scotland.
Yeah.
And then she's jumping back out of vehicle. Right, and she is.
That's dedication.
Yes. It's amazing. Amazing. Thank you. We're so happy. And Mark Kenneth, thank you. Louisville, thank you. Perk Coffee. Bent Distillery.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right.
All right.
You good?
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks
have
much.
A good day. Have a good whatever. Cheers.